When we were in pre-service prayer this morning, it was like we just saw that it was an incredible, incredible privilege that God has given us to be his children. And the worship music this morning just seemed the same thing. God has given us such an incredible blessing to be his children. And not only that, he doesn't just leave us there to figure things out for ourselves. He gives us this and teaches us from it. And he sends teachers amongst us to do that. And he prepares them to. This is going someplace pretty quick, I promise. Isaiah, he chose Isaiah to speak his word to the children of Israel. But Isaiah said, Lord, I don't know if I can get this right. So God took an angel, got a coal from the altar, and cleansed his lips. So we're going to do exactly the same thing this morning for Crystal as she comes to share. Complete assurance that everything she says will be spoken the way God wants it spoken. For we declare that the angel has come and has cleansed your lips so you will speak only truth and the way God wants it spoken. So Pastor Crystal, come on up. Amen.
Good morning, beloved. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I want to share a message called Empowered to Forgive. Because just like God gives us power to walk as new creations, we cannot forgive in our own carnal nature. We're not bent that way. We need the grace of God. And I had this powerful directive from the Holy Spirit to return to basics. Marion and I were doing one of our discipleship programs not long ago, and there was a teaching, a story which I will later share from that teaching. And as we were in it, the Holy Spirit said, preach that. Just like that. The anointing came down over it, unmistakable. I want my people to hear this again. So, Lord, I ask for a powerful anointing to share your word and to impart truth to your people this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Empowered to forgive. And in order to look at that, we're going to go to a parable Jesus taught out of Matthew 18. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, roughly $10 million in our accounting. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Wow. That's a parable. Now, there's lots of great teachings of Jesus in the Gospels about the kingdom of God. Some of them are more colorful than others. But this one today is probably the heaviest, weightiest, most uncompromising of them all. There's no mistaking this meaning. There's no wiggle room. Forgiveness, bottom line, is not optional. This parable must have been as shocking and inflexible to Jesus' audience as it is today, because we love the gospel of grace. We love the gospel of grace. We love grace and all the wonderful, unexpected things Jesus teaches us about it so we can enter into it. But this story is in stark contrast to the others. It is vivid, violent, implacable. It offends our sensibilities while at the same time gratifying our sense of justice. That is, until we realize we are the wicked servants of the parable. The takeaway on the issue of forgiveness, the Lord is categorically uncompromising. Forgiveness is actually commanded. We like to believe and teach, and we know that it's true, that all you have to do is receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, receive the finished work of the cross for the remission of your sin, receive his love and forgiveness for you. You are saved. You're a new creation. You've entered the kingdom of God, and you are well on your way to eternal glory. Amen. And this is the truth. It is not, however, the whole truth. This parable unequivocally teaches that the forgiveness purchased for you by Jesus, if it does not enter your heart and express itself through forgiving others, you've got a problem. You've invalidated the grace. And this is a theme that's been clearly laid down in the Old Testament. Again, it's kind of a point blank do not. Okay? It's not actually in the commandments, but it's got every bit as much weight behind it. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Leviticus 19:18. It's clear. And maybe you didn't learn that one in Sunday school. Maybe they didn't. I didn't realize it was written quite that clearly. You shall not. According to this word, grudges, offense, and ought-keeping, score-keeping, passive-aggressive forms of anger are to be dealt with immediately. They are vipers in the bosom, and they are not to be indulged ever, period. Now that we've got that settled, let's talk about real life. Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I doubt if any of us could really give an accurate accounting of the condition of our own hearts this morning. You know, we might be feeling good. We're feeling good with the Lord. We can't think of that we're angry at anybody or, you know, we got any major issues going. We're doing okay, aren't we? That is, until something happens that's relatively minor and it pushes our buttons and we have a disproportionate reaction of fear, anger, offense that just begins to burn in us. What does that mean? Obviously, we got some issues we're unaware of. And they lay deep within the hidden layers of our psyche, Maybe they've been acknowledged, maybe they haven't been acknowledged. But getting our buttons pushed can shockingly expose them. Has it ever happened to you? I thought I was done with that. So the simple and often difficult to admit truth is we cannot cure ourselves. And the best the world can do for you is teach you how to cope. But the Bible has no coping mechanisms. It has only curing mechanisms. Which one do you want? So we ask ourselves this morning, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want to be healed? How bad do you want to be whole? What parts of your dysfunctional story are you willing to face the truth about? What strongholds of pride are you prepared to lay down? Ego, things I don't really want to admit about myself this morning. And ask for the freedom of the Son who will make you free indeed. Not free in name, free indeed. It's going to cost us something, and are we willing to pay the price? Or are we just going to keep limping along, blaming the Lord and other people when we get bent out of shape, when things don't seem to be going our way, when we feel like we're not making progress, growing in faith the way others around us seem to be? And as Marion and I were reading that story and the Holy Spirit said to me, preach that, he added a little something along in directive. And he said, tell them your story. I said, Lord, can we just talk about that for a minute? Because forgiveness has been an ongoing and very raw battleground for me for the last 15 years. And so I'm going to have to be vulnerable at the injunction of the Holy Spirit this morning. In order to illustrate my point, I want to be vulnerable and share a dirty little family secret that has taxed my sanctification to the limit on a regular basis. My brother, who lives out east, about 20 years ago, married a woman of a different ethnicity, and they had two children, two boys. And of course, because my sister and I were never married, these are my mom's only grandchildren. And though we did everything we could to welcome this woman into our family, she just didn't want to have anything to do with us. And my brother, for reasons of his own, which were never given, explained, reasons, explanations, excuses, nothing. Whether we just weren't good enough for the Eastern crowd they ran with, we don't know. They basically disowned my mom, my sister, and I. And except for a couple of visits when my nephews were just born, we have not seen these boys for 15 years. We've totally been cut off from their childhood, and we have actually spoken to them on the phone maybe five times in that amount of time. Communication is very sporadic and unpredictable. Every now and again, three times, my brother will blow into town on business and come and visit us. And these are excruciating, as you can imagine. He'll boast, talk endlessly about his business, his boys' activities, his garden, fancy family holidays, and get us caught up on some of the news. We'll get to look at some of the pictures. But there is never the slightest whisper of acknowledgement, regret, penitence, or shame for the incredibly cruel and dishonoring selfish treatment that we continue to receive. We just have to smile and take it and try to love him sincerely, which we do when we see him. Because when you see someone, no matter how mad you are, the love in you rises up. Because one wrong move could split the family forever. And my mom begs him to send videos or pictures or call more often. But I can't even count because I've lived through it all and I've tried to forget. The numerous conversations I've had with mom when she's very upset, as we try to hash it out, we try to reason it, what did we do wrong? Mother's Day, Father's Day, holidays, we leave messages, they're never answered. There's no phone call. Mom pondering out loud what she did as a parent to produce such a child. And the countless nights that I've had to listen silently as she sobs herself to sleep. Now, when somebody treats me personally with contempt and openly dishonors me, you know, I've been in this thing with Jesus long enough. I've come across quite a bit of that. And I just know I love the Lord. I'm not changing my mind. I can't change how somebody else thinks. So I can let it go. What used to take me a week of being upset, the Holy Spirit and I, you know, we've accelerated that. Maybe I'll be upset for half a day. And then I can put it under the blood. I can run through the protocol of forgiveness, and it's over. And even if I have to keep dealing with them and they keep being nasty, I'm okay. However, when someone is torturing your parents or your children or your siblings, that's a whole different ballgame. And I've been as angry as I have ever been with anyone I can remember, with my brother, on multiple occasions. Crying out to God for answers and for an end to this torture. And it has taken everything in me to forgive, continuously be purged of the anger and absolute contempt I feel for the way he acts. And this open wound of my family is the single most cutting edge of the Holy Spirit working in my life. Forgiveness. And to tell you the truth, I marvel at the resiliency of hope and the unconditional love and the way my mom is just able to forgive and keep going. She's like the father of the prodigal, waiting on the hill. And I pray God she will see those boys before she dies. And I know, looking around at your faces, that I'm not the only one with skeletons in the closet. That you face painful and difficult, dysfunctional family equations as shameful and distressing as the one I've just described. I'm not alone and I know it. And it's easy, actually, when someone comes to you and they know they've wronged you and they've got tears in their eyes and they understand how much pain they've caused. And they look you in the face and ask you to forgive them. You know what? If you got any heart of the Lord Jesus in you at all, it's not that hard. Because they mean it. They understand the pain they've caused. And we say they deserve to be forgiven. They deserve it. But the hard part is forgiving the ones who don't deserve it. They have no repentance for their actions. In fact, they keep on doing wickedness and they glory in getting away with it. They enjoy the pain they inflict because it gives them some sick sense of superiority or power. And no amount of righteousness and kindness seems to change the path they're on. We don't believe they deserve to be forgiven, which is why forgiveness is so difficult. However, this is where we part company with Jesus, because Jesus decided they did deserve to be forgiven. And he went down the road of the cross and crucifixion, and he finished it. Deserving, undeserving, he died for them. And so now I have to come into agreement with the Lord over these people. And that's the tricky part. I want to be like Jesus. When he was reviled and insulted, he did not revile or offer insult in return. When he was abused and suffered, he made no threats of vengeance, but trusted himself and everything to him who judges fairly. When you go through this kind of painful process, the only thing at times that can sustain you is really just simply entrusting yourself to Jesus. That's all you can do. Let go of yourself, your offender, the entire situation, and actively and deliberately turn it over to the Lord. This forgiveness, when we do this, when we release, it breaks the yoke of evil that Satan wants to form between you and that person and bind you up, and it breaks a spirit of torment. And I remember the inflexible words of the Lord also in the Old Testament. The paraphrase, I will deal with it. Deuteronomy 32. Is this not laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongs vengeance and recompense, and I will repay, says the Lord. It's remembering that nobody's getting away with anything. God is a just judge. He will not be mocked. What you sow is what you reap. Our job, however, is not working vengeance. That's God's job. We are called to be ministers of reconciliation. That's our job. And it's the manifestation of the fact that we are actually new creations. So as part of this teaching, the person who was writing it told a story about how unforgiveness affects us. And I can't teach it better than he told it, so I'm just going to read it to you. It was written by Don Crow, and he's part of the Wambach Ministries. I pastored a church a while back, and there was a young woman in the congregation who was able to see things in the future. She came to me one day and said, "Is it the Holy Spirit telling me things to come and showing me things in the future? I know when people are going to die and when someone is going to have a car wreck, things like that." I said, "You won't like my answer, but I don't believe that's the Holy Spirit. I think it's a spirit of divination, the same spirit that followed the Apostle Paul around in Acts 16. He finally rebuked it and commanded it to come out of that girl, and she lost her ability to tell fortunes. I went on to tell her that I wasn't God and said, I want you to go to Jesus and ask him, Lord, what is telling me these things and giving me information even before I was saved? Is it your Holy Spirit or is it something else?" She came back to me one day and said, "I talked to the Lord about it and I think it's all right." I said, "Whatever the Lord says is all right. I'm not the great shepherd." This was in early 1986. And do you know what happened in 1986? We had a space shuttle called the Challenger, and eight people went up in it. One of them was a woman school teacher. As this young lady was watching television, she saw the woman saying, "Tomorrow I'm going up in the Challenger," and talking about it. A spirit spoke to her and said, she's going to die, she's going to die. The next day, when the Challenger was launched, it blew up as the whole world watched, and the crew all perished. The young lady came back to me and said, Brother Don, I think what's telling me and giving me information may not be the Holy Spirit. Would you pray for me? Following the service that night, when everyone left, I took her by the hand and said, you unclean spirit of divination, come out of her. Nothing happened. Jesus' disciples tried to cast out an unclean spirit out of a young man once and couldn't do it. Jesus said, bring the young man to me. So I said, Lord, I thought I knew what was going on in her, but I bring this lady to you now. Show us what's going on. My wife was praying with us, and God gave her a word of knowledge. She said, it has something to do with her mother. I said to the woman, will you forgive your mother? The moment I said that, a voice screamed out of her, no, she gave me away. Then I said, I bind you, you unclean spirit, and ask the woman again if she would forgive her mother. Then she forgave and released her mother and let her go by the grace and help of God. She was able to let go by making the decision to forgive, and then she received her deliverance and freedom. Just like Jesus said in the parable in Matthew 18, I'm saying that if we do not forgive from our hearts after we've been forgiven such a great debt by our Heavenly Father, we will be delivered into the hands of the tormentors. What are the tormentors? Guilt, shame, demonic oppression, sickness, depression, disease, addiction, and many others. This gives ground to the enemy if we continue to deny when we know we need to forgive, because it blocks the river of grace and the agents of help that the Lord is trying to send to us. So please don't take it as condemnation this morning, but I want to throw a thought out to you. If you have not received the healing you desire, go back to the basics and ask yourself and the Lord if it might be because you are holding unforgiveness against someone. Because there's a direct correlation between bondage and unforgiveness. And I can't speak for you, of course, but I don't want to spend my life trudging through the mire, the horrible pit, the miry clay. You've been delivered, so don't go back like a sow washed only to wallow in the mire, like a dog returns to its vomit, the scripture says. I don't want to trudge through the sludge of bitter experiences, negative emotions, being reactive, vulnerable, volatile. I want to be a minister of reconciliation and multiply the grace of God I have received. Totally free. Because when you're free, it is such an incredible witness to the world about the grace of God, about the love of God. And here's some conclusions I've come to regarding my family. Because if what you sow is what you reap, my brother is storing up for himself a day that will take your breath away. When his children treat him the same way he has treated his mother, it will devastate him because those children are idols in his life. And so now, here's the kicker. Not only do I have to forgive him, now I've got to start standing in the gap and praying down the grace and mercy of God against the day of reaping. Now I've got to cry out and say, Lord, soften those hard hearts. Draw them to yourself. Forgive them, Lord. Now I've got to cry out that he doesn't get what he deserves. Help me, Jesus. Praying salvation For your tormentors is the surest way to invite grace into the mess for all involved and manifest the spirit of truth that dominates your life. Because you know what the Lord promised? I will take you out of the nations, out of the pagan way of doing things. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And you will live in the land I gave your ancestors and be my people, says the Lord. I will be your God. Those are the promises for us. But I don't want to leave you high and dry. You know me. I'm always practical. I want to leave you with a protocol. Okay, girl, I'm on the page. Yeah, I need to forgive. Now, let's talk about how to do it. Betty, would you just hand those out? And don't worry to scramble to take notes because I wrote it down for you. You know I do. And give half to whoever. Yeah. Because sometimes we need a little help in the process. So that's what I want to do today. How to forgive? Well, first of all, we're going to have to admit to ourselves, that's often the hardest part, and the Lord, that I'm actually holding unforgiveness in my heart. And you can probably tell if you're holding unforgiveness if you're angry. Because anger, the scripture says, lodges in the bosom of fools. If you're mad, look close into that. Then you've got to decide, I'm on point two, that you want to be free of a bond of evil that's binding you to this person through unforgiveness. And then I come to the fact that Jesus has already forgiven this person. Do I want to be in agreement with him, or do I want to be in agreement with Satan, the accuser of the brethren? I got to make that choice. Then there's the understanding that if I don't choose grace, that if I don't choose agreement with Jesus, there's a fallout. That if I hang on to grudge, offense, and unforgiveness, it will begin to envenom and corrupt. Envenom means to poison all the other areas of my life and prevent me from being healed. There's a cost to hanging on to that garbage. Okay, so how do we do it? Simply say out loud to the Lord, I choose to forgive such and such for such and such and release them to the mercy and grace of God. Help them, Lord, to be delivered from the torment in their own lives. Just say it out loud. Say it out loud so you remember that you've done it. And as you do it, there will be a grace and anointing that comes upon you to minister to you because you've just opened up your heart to the Holy Spirit and he's going to come in like a flood. So just thank him for it. Do the action. Remember I said last time I preached, God's not waiting for you to feel like it. Your will is stronger than your emotions. Decide what is right. The emotions will follow. So just do it. And if you have to, if you have a prayer journal or something, write it down, the date you actually did it. Because you know Satan's going to try to check the back door and stir you all up again. Feelings of anger and resentment. You just remind yourself, no, I remember, I formally did that. It's under the blood, Satan, and it's done. Buzz off. And when he tries to bring these people to your mind to make you angry, turn it around. Turn it around and take it into the prayer closet and say, Lord, I just bring this person. Satan is just trying to harangue me with this issue. I bring this person before you and I bless them. And I ask you to help them deal with wherever they are. And I'm loving on them. Bless them, Lord, love them. And turn it into an anointing for prayer instead of indulging negative dialogue in your mind and heart. I promise you, Satan is going to quit bugging you on that person. Remember that as you do this, you are faithfully choosing to be a disciple of Jesus. You are making progress. Hallelujah. You are making the decision to be a minister of reconciliation. That's 2 Chronicles 5, 16 to 18. Oh, I beg your pardon, Corinthians. Pray into the pain. If we're triggered by certain people, it's because we have unhealed wounds. So maybe we need to ask the Lord, use that information to deal with the root of dysfunction that you've got. Ask the Holy Spirit. But you got to forgive. It's the first step. Be proactive. Put on the armor of righteousness every day against the arrows and slings of the evil one, against the flaming darts. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, because it makes it 100 times harder for the enemy to penetrate your heart. Set up the mentality that nothing will offend you. When you're filled with the Word of God, it's just way harder for him to get under your skin, Satan, to bother you. Psalm 119:165 says, great peace have they who love your law. Nothing shall offend them. Do you want to be a person that is not offended? And also memorize Leviticus 19:18, which was our scripture that says, do not hold grudges, you know, hold offense. And whenever that inclination to be mad rises up, say, whoa, wait a second. You will not. I'll read it again. If I can find it. You shall not take vengeance nor bear a grudge against the children of your people, but you will love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, so there's our protocol for forgiveness. And finally, thank the Lord again for the fact that you are forgiven. His great mercy to you and the covering and removal of your sin. Thank you, Lord. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to forgive. And incidentally, that also means forgiving yourself. Because sometimes that can be harder than forgiving other people. There is grace from the Lord to forgive yourself. And if you got to write that one down, write it down too. It is impossible in our own carnal nature to forgive people. We need the anointing from the Holy Spirit this morning. And a few weeks ago, I preached a crazy little sermon about the Pool of Bethesda and about waiting for healing, because they had to wait for the angel to trouble the waters. And the first person that stepped in. And you know what? I feel in my heart that the angel is troubling the waters this morning. And if we'll step into the river of grace, there's a powerful anointing to clean up old garbage this morning and to really dig deep in the layers of our spirit. Don't neglect so great a salvation this morning. The Word of God. Keep short accounts with yourself and others. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your blood that changes everything. Father, would you just send your Holy Spirit so that we can receive the power of everything Jesus did for us, and that his life, his spirit, his redemptive power, his resurrection power would be mighty and manifest in us going forward. Thank you for every good thing. Lord, heal us and help us to forgive. And we ask this all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.